things to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Falce, welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, on this fantastic and glorious St. Patrick's Day. And I also say Falce to my guest all the way from Ireland. I'm going to waste no time in jumping into our interview with Tony Cookson, and he is calling us all the way from Ireland. Hey, Tony, it is great to talk to you again on this wonderful St. Patrick's Day 2012.
Thanks, Richard. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to talking to you and sharing some stories.
Absolutely. We're going to hear some Irish poetry as well. A reminder to our listeners that we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, and we rebroadcast this program on A2Zen.fm. That's the letter A, the number 2, Z-E-N.fm, 2 p.m. Pacific time, Sunday. So if you want to hear this program following the broadcast, you can either go to the website and download it from richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, or wait until Sunday, go to A2Zen.fm and listen to the rebroadcast. Tony, there are a number of reasons why I am so excited, and I have to chuckle about what you said to me as we were chatting before we started the program, that I will be seeing you in about 9 months. Because we are planning our two-week trip to Ireland the end of December 2012. We will be there on the 21st. Fortunately, I'll be interviewing Greg Braden as well before then, so I'm going to let him know that's where we'll be. And apparently the Mayans knew this because it's my wife's and my 10th anniversary, and that's what the Mayan calendar was all about, according to Greg.
Oh, that's lovely, lovely. That's great. Yeah, super.
But also because it's St. Patrick's Day and because of the incredible influence of the Celtic traditions on the rest of the world, not to mention the United States in particular with the Irish immigration in the 1800s, especially building the railroads, and obviously with some of the little skirmishes we won't get into right now.
But no, don't go there, Richard.
No, no,
don't
no.
Go there.
But they referred to it as the Celtic Tiger back in the late 90s and early part of the 21st century. And I know that there's a little hardship going on. It's not just in Ireland, but around the world. And what we wanted to do was on this wonderful and festive day, especially for the Irish, and, you know, most anybody can be Irish. Just put an O at the front of your last name.
Yeah.
To talk a little. Exactly. Now, what was the joke I heard that across someone said, yes, it used to be, say, O'Dugan, but on the ship over to Ellis Island, the O fell overboard. And that's how that happened. But we also want to talk about what you have going on in regards to the unique maps and the stages of spiritual growth. Now, I've talked with people on this program time and time again about spiritual growth and the processes that we go through, but never really taking a look at it in terms of stages. Let's start there and talk about what are the stages of spiritual growth from your perspective.
Well, I've been interested in stages of spiritual growth for a while now, and when I've looked at them, I was really introduced to the idea of stages of spiritual growth by a guy called Andrew Harvey. I bought a Sounds True audio recording called Radiant Heart, and you know that I was brought up in, your listeners may not know this, but I was brought up in Northern Ireland, and I was brought up at a time when we were sent to Sunday school, we were sent to church, and I went to two churches, and I went to three Sunday schools each Sunday, so I had a full day. And most of what I was taught was that I was what they would call a sinner. and I was made to feel wrong about myself. I was made to feel guilty. And so when I was 18 and able to leave the church that my family required that I attend, I did so. But down the road, I was always interested in spiritual ideas. And so I traveled different paths. I became a Buddhist and almost became a Buddhist monk. I was taught by a wonderful man called Jiddu Krishnamurti. I went down and visited various gurus and traveled in India. But I had always, my heart always called me back to Christianity. And I tell you, I didn't want to go back there. And I came across the writings of Andrew Harvey, and he wrote various books on, and he would call himself a Christian. But he did a recording for Sounds True, and he actually, in that recording, maps 8 stages of what is called the Christian journey, and he would call it the 8 stages of Christing. And it would be the stages that you move through from an individual to a Christ. Now that's one path. That's a Christian path. You can see this being mapped in other ways. And one of the ways that I'm writing about it in particular is what I call the way of the chakras, which is a 7-stage spiritual growth process. And then you can see stage growth process in what is called, Joseph Campbell called it, the hero's journey. Now, there are more maps than that. There is one I'm aware of. I don't know an awful lot about it, but it's a similar map called Spiral Dynamics. And there's a wonderful book written by a guy called Jim Marion called Putting on the Mind of Christ, which is another 7-stage journey using the Christian motif. And if you were to read How to Know God by Deepak Chopra, you would have another 7-stage journey. So there are lots of invitations out there to stage the processes of spiritual growth. But the one that I'm focused on at the moment, and the one I'm going to launch a website on my birthday, which is on Tuesday, called The Way of Chakra Healing, and it uses a 7-stage process of chakra balancing and opening up the chakras and what it means in different ways. So that's a kind of overview of stages. Now, there's also, I'll give you a chance to come in here, but there's also, I want to mention, is that people might be aware of it. There's also aligned with that is what are called stages of faith. And faith and spiritual growth go hand in hand, really. So there's a whole spectrum there. I would begin that journey with a focus on something that people don't usually do. And in fact, a lot of religions and a lot of religious teachers invite you not to do, and has caused major problems for seekers throughout history and in their own personal life. And that is the relationship to their body and their sexuality.
Mm.
So that's the beginning point. And if you were to take that as a first stage, you would call, from now on I'll use what is called the way of the chakra mapping, if I may.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious as to your upbringing. You were raised in the church. It was sort of mandatory as far as your parents and so forth. So I'm wondering if you struggled through your was your curiosity about spirituality overriding any fear about venturing out into what might be considered these deep waters of generalized spirituality, because I was born and raised Catholic myself. And it took me until I was, I don't know, 30, 35 years of age to finally release the last vestiges of fear over whether or not, well, the question that would go through my mind as I'm looking at all of these other paths, as even as you searched down those paths, what if they're right? What if when I die, because I went down these other ways, I'm going to wind up in hell? And it took me, like I said, it took me 5 or 10 years in my active search to finally release the fear in that regard. What about you? Was that ever in your mind at all, or was that curiosity that you had overriding any other issues?
I think for me, I wasn't afraid. My sister spent a lot of her time scaring the rest of the children by telling us she would go on religious retreat for a week down in you might go to a place called Bray when you're in Ireland. It's just outside Dublin. It's a lovely place, but anyway, she would spend a week there on deep in retreat, and then she would come back and scare the living hell out of us until my mother told her to stop. But I didn't really fear it. I did have a curiosity. What I did find that during my research of stages of spiritual growth is that's stage one. Mm-hmm. That's stage one, and it's based on fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way that a lot of religious hierarchies have controlled the church and other institutions, and it's been based on fear rather than revelation. And the second stage, if you're going, the second stage of moving through that is, and there's advantages to every stage of spiritual growth. Yeah, I want to say that, and whatever stage you're at, right, and these stages are not linear. What I mean by that, they don't move from A to B, and they're not necessarily upper to higher.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of move in a figure eight.
Okay.
And they spiral up and down, right? And you could find yourself at a stage one process,
mm-hmm.
and then you could leap into a stage three or four, and then you could spiral back down. And what happens is that during your spiritual journey, and this has been my personal experience, is that you might find that you might find yourself that you live in a, for example, if you lived at a fairly high level of consciousness, your heart would be very open, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And your experience of life would be mirror that. But you might find that for some unknown reason, that suddenly you find yourself back doing a lot of work on issues that you thought you'd resolved.
Yeah.
What happens is you spiral down and you deal with those issues on a deeper level. And what happens is it opens your heart more deeply.
Mm.
And that process goes on and on until what happens is that you move from what is called a state of awareness into what's called a station of awareness. Now, a state is where you might move into a particular, I'm going to use the term levels of consciousness, right? You might move from one or two states and you transit these, but life is kind of moving you in that way, and circumstances propel you into those kinds of states. Whereas when you're in a station, you're able, at will, to enter that state. For example, you might be able to, if you were able to live at the station of heart consciousness, you would be able to, at will, choose to live from that state.
Mm-hmm.
And that state then moves higher. And the heart In my mapping, in the maps that I have, or in the map that I've drawn, I broadly use two aspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to take, I don't know how much your users knew, but know about chakras, I'll do a quick summary of it. There are seven chakras, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're, what I do is I divide them into three, and three, and one. So there are three lower chakras, there's three higher chakras, and there's a middle chakra. The middle chakra is what is called the heart chakra, right? The lower three chakras are to do with your personal development as an individual living on this planet. The three higher chakras are your relationship and your unity to what we call the divine. So your heart, you develop your personality. I invite you, when I write about this stuff, to develop your personality with the, and open the heart chakra so that your will and the divine will are aligned. So that's the intention, and that is the intention of the energy that is created in form on this planet. It is the intention to bring to Earth the experience of heaven. Heaven is not a place, but an experience of the timeless within form. And but what you see in the world today is what I call the will to power. That is, people are developing their personal wills to empower themselves, and they take that power personally. Whereas that power, and usually that's where they get stuck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They you will find individuals who are very powerful, and then what happens is they get stuck, and they find that they don't, that even though they have a lot of power, they have a lot of integrity even, that they're stuck because they have no, their power is used for, to serve themselves, right?
Mm.
And what happens is the heart gets, isn't getting open, and their will, they've used their will to empower themselves, but the will, the personal will, you develop your personal will, and if you want to be happy, then you surrender it to love through the heart center, and that that invites your unity with the divine, and that opens up vast, vast possibilities for you. And there are three stages above that, and you know this is a framework, you know,
yeah,
that you can work with. You know, it's not, and you move through that from an experiential point of view.
Right.
And there are enough people who have had this experience and journeyed through this experience and mapped it in words. But, of course, you can get caught up in words.
I think that the best example for me is when I was learning how to move within the movements of Tai Chi. My wife was practicing Tai Chi. She had a master. I was invited to join. I didn't know the movements. I didn't know the positions. And I was fumbling through trying to follow everybody else and just felt very uncomfortable. Yes. To when the master came up to me, said, "Don't worry about the positions. Just let the energy flow through you. And whatever movement comes out, just
yes,
out." And so that's really what you're saying here is, yes, here are the stages. Here yeah, are the fundamentals, but don't get caught up in the structure. Let the energy just flow through you.
Absolutely,
it,
yeah.
So there are basically five stages, as you see them, of spiritual development.
No, seven.
Seven. Beg your pardon. So they and yeah, each one corresponds to the chakras.
Yeah.
The seven chakras.
Yeah.
And yet, I'm also aware from reading a book called Joy's Way that in addition to the seven major chakras, that the human mm-hmm, body actually has a multiplicity of minor chakra points all over the body, at the joints and the fingers and toes and so forth, that haven't you don't hear about that aspect. And yet, by the same token, you can define it down into the chakras, or we're energy. We're made up of energy regardless.
Yes, yes. I think it's like I just use them as a framework, you know. There are people who see them. I don't see them. I use it as a framework from, and I'm really using it as a frame that as a psychological, physical, and mental, emotional framework to work with. Now, if you work with them, then you can begin to recognize. You can recognize that certain emotional, mental, psychological states are associated, and the lower the chakra, the more problematic the state.
Mm-hmm. I do,
because the first one is really to do with security, and it's also related to the fact that we our first task on this earth really is what is called embodiment, right? When you're born, your first task as a body in this dimension of time and space is to recognize that that's what you are within this dimension, that you're a body living within time, and that, you know, you watch young children, very, very young children, they're learning to separate themselves. In the beginning, they don't even feel separate from the mother. They have no separate identity from the mother.
Mm-hmm.
The first task is to separate from the mother, who they don't see as separate from themselves, and they touch and feel and begin to recognize that, yeah, over a period of time, they begin to recognize that they are separate from the mother. They're beginning to embody, and they begin to walk and talk and things, and all that, and one time, they were not separate from mum, and then they are. If it's done right, then they begin to get confident. But we have as a culture, and it's historical, shamed children, shamed many of ourselves. And actually, you know, if you take a lot of religious teachings and the teachings that I was brought up in, actually you're encouraged to have some kind of sense that the flesh is so much worse than the spirit, and that it's the thing that is guilty of some mythological story of dishonoring God because you disobeyed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got this. Well, you have the word. You've got this paradigm whereby, you know, there's this embodiment that we're walking around in this world in, and it's, you know, at worst, it's called sinful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there are all those in authority, and they've been in authority for thousands of years, that invite you to identify your embodiment as something that is wrong. And I'm saying that's a teaching that is fundamentally disempowering.
Mm.
Fundamentally disempowering. It made me feel guilty, and I know from having conversations with all my friends, is that it didn't empower them in any way.
Yeah. Well, I am so excited, of course, to have you on the program to talk more about this as we continue. I'm going to have you share with us some of the wonderful Irish poetry on this St. Patrick's Day. I will share with you, folks, that you can get more information about what Tony is talking about by going to his website, which is tonycookson.com. That's TonyCukson.com. And I happen to be looking at the Personal and Spiritual Development course. And a quote, a wonderful quote here. A person without a soul friend or anamkara, and that's what we talked about in our first interview together, is like a body without a head. And that was said by Saint Bridget. We're going to continue talking with Tony Cookson here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay with us. I'm Richard Dugan, and we will be back.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip. Today's Charlie Center of Health Quick Tip is for heart health. One of the risk factors for high blood pressure is excess salt consumption. Sodium attracts and holds water, and your blood volume increases. Increased blood volume makes your heart work harder, since it has to move more blood through your blood vessels, and that increases pressure in your arteries. Consider that just one teaspoon of table salt has 2,325 milligrams of sodium. We get 77% of our sodium from processed and prepared foods. Lots of sodium is found in sodas, alcohol, including beer and wine, deli meats, soups, and most boxed items on grocery shelves, including breads, cereals, and condiments. One tablespoon of soy sauce has about 1,000 milligrams of sodium. Salt is basically a combination of sodium and chloride, used for preservation and enhancing taste. On average, Americans eat about 3,600 milligrams of sodium a day, about double the goal for many people.
So how much sodium do you need? According to the 2005 Dietary Guidelines for Americans, don't exceed 2,300 milligrams of sodium a day if you are a healthy adult. Don't exceed 1,500 milligrams of sodium a day if you have high blood pressure, diabetes, kidney disease, are African American, or are above 50 years old. So what type of salt is good for you? Salt can be found in three forms: unrefined salt, refined salt, and iodized salt. Both refined and iodized salt are not good for your health, since they are heavily processed and treated with various chemicals. So avoid products with more than 200 milligrams of sodium per serving, and buy unrefined sea salt. Limited amounts of sea salt is the best form of salt to use for both cooking and table salt. And finally, check the nutrition facts label of the sodium content on the foods and beverages that you buy.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
And it's time now to understand what in the world is going on in outer space, as well as our own inner space. It's our astronomical and astrological assignment editor, Beth McDonald of Beth McDonald Consulting, here on this St. Patrick's Day, as we continue talking about Pisces, although I do know there's another sign that's that we're fast approaching as well, and we want to talk a little bit about that as we move forward through these various, I'll use the phrase we're using in the program today, through these stages of the calendar from yeah. Pisces to Aries. So let's pick it up a little bit where we left off last week, as we are going to continue doing this, folks, on a regular basis throughout, as well as talking about what's happening, what's in retrograde, what's stabilizing, what's helping us, what's kind of hindering us today, tomorrow, this week, and that kind of thing.
Awesome. Thank you, Richard. We are in the last waning days, again, in the traditional astrology, of the energy of Pisces. Now, Pisces is the 12th of 12 signs of the zodiac, and so this in the Piscean stage, you are wrapping things up, and you're integrating what you've learned. You're integrating the different parts of your psyche and your soul.
So when is New Year's Day?
New Year's Day this year is Monday.
Okay.
It's at the spring equinox when the sun moves from Pisces into Aries, and the days and nights are of equal length.
Now, do the spring and autumnal equinoxes seem to shift? I know they shift a little bit, but usually it's traditionally like the 21st, which is the first day of spring, most people think of, but you're saying the 19th.
Yeah, there is a range.
Okay.
There is a range between about the 19th and the 23rd every year. I think a lot of it depends on how where we are in our Gregorian
mm-hmm.
calendar cycles. But it's the 19th this year, and it happens at 10:14 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay.
And the days and nights on Monday are of equal length, and it's a moment of balance, and it's a time when we can kind of catch our breath and be grateful for what has come, and then refocus very decisively, because Aries is such a decisive energy, on the next goals and priorities.
And as you said, wrap things up as well as plan for the coming 12 months.
Take the next step.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it is in agrarian cultures, you know, it is still the planting time. We are now entering the, we are now in the planting time.
Yeah, I know. We have to get down into the dirt right now and start tilling it, because, and I'm speaking literally here, we need to start planting our crops, because otherwise we'll have nothing in the fall.
Yeah, Eric is distraught. He was planning to rototill the garden this weekend, and so that got postponed because of our rain, but we're glad to have the rain.
Hey, a little rain isn't going to hurt him.
No, well, I should tell them to get out there anyway.
That's right. all right, so tell us a little bit about what we can look forward to in the next week to 10 days.
Well, what I really like about right now, again, is there's often a sense of clarity at the equinox. There's an aha, especially when it comes with all these retrogrades. It's a time of clarity. You might not always like what you see, but at least, you know, clarity is our friend.
Yeah.
If you know what's going on, you can figure out how to work with it.
Yeah.
And so I love the clarity at this point in time and the new beginnings.
And we can all use a little bit of that, because so much is going on. The dust gets kicked up, you know, euphemistically speaking.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to focus. I have to tell you that because this past week's schedule has been somewhat topsy-turvy. It's been a good week. It hasn't been a problem week. But because my schedule has been shifting around so much this past week, on Friday, yesterday, I kept thinking it was Monday.
Oops.
Because I didn't have the normal Friday routine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm going, okay, well, okay, so tomorrow I'll come in and we'll do this and that. Wait a minute. No, this is Friday. So it happens to all of us from time to time. We forget where we are and what we're doing. So clarity is definitely a good thing. And they can get more clarity by contacting you at BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, 963-0842.
Thank you, Richard.
And we will be talking to you a little later.
Awesome.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We will be back with Tony Cookson in just a moment.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804. Professional glass blower and craftsman Saul Alcaraz of Santa Barbara Art Glass can teach you to make that special gift for that special someone.
I guarantee that if you come in here, you will make paperweights, tumblers, or a mug, a bowl. You will get it done on your first lesson, even if you've never done it. Guarantee.
If I wanted to learn how to blow glass, what do I need to come to Saul with?
You gotta be extremely hyper. Especially if you're going to be doing it professional, you only have like 5 seconds to work with. If you want to create art and sculpting and all that kind of stuff, then it's not a problem. You can take your time. Glass will not break.
Can people come by the shop unexpected?
I like it when they come in unexpected, and they'll probably bring some good energy in. Our studio, it's at 706 East Mason Street, 2 blocks from Miltos in Santa Barbara.
How do people get a hold of you?
Check out my website, sbrglass.com, or call us at 805-965-1541.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story on this fine green St. Patrick's Day. We're so glad that you've joined us here on the program. Not a great Irish accent, but it'll do for now. Tony Cookson is my guest, and we're looking forward to hearing his dulcet tones as we travel to Ireland in December of this year. Really looking forward to that. And it'll be our third trip, and hopefully, definitely, I'm not going to say hopefully, it will definitely not be our last. I know that housing prices are really good right now, so who knows? Maybe we'll...
They are, yep, they are.
We'll
yep.
start
but
looking.
You need to talk to me, because, you know, I know the man who...
Hey,
the thing is,
I always knew we were connected. Well, Tony, let's talk a little bit more about, I know that when we first spoke, I'm going to say it's a year or two ago. It's been quite a while. Your focus at that time was on the soul friend or Anamkara. Beautiful, beautiful concept, if you will, or system, if you will. And that you've taken it to the next level in that regard. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that was one. I mean, when I came back to Ireland, it was like sort of really a very big transition for me because for all sorts of reasons I didn't want to come back, and it was clear that when I did come back, I found the reasons why I didn't, which were to do very much with my past and my childhood and things.
Mm-hmm.
But I was accompanied at that time by a guy who was a poet, a writer, John O'Donohue, and I would walk these lanes that I live here now with his book called Anamkara, Wisdom from the Celtic World. And I was very, very influenced by his writings, and I still am. And it was said of him that if he were to talk about water, he could talk about the word water for half an hour and hold you spellbound. It was just an incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard him speak, but he has the voice of an angel, and everything that came out of the mouth of John O'Donohue was poetry. He couldn't talk. You could listen to him, I was personally listening to him, and it was just so poetic, and he represented to me what was called a soul friend who invites you into the true potential that you have here and are gifted to attempt to realize on this planet. Now, he didn't do stages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He did, it was a soul friend. And I'm asked questions about soul friend, and people get very confused about soul friend. They think that soul friend means soul mate, and it means that you're going to go and you're going to marry the person that has been following you and chasing you around planets and things for ever and for several lifetimes,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that would be a lovely... Well, it might be, not be a lovely idea, but soul friendship and soul mate isn't quite the same thing to me, you know. A soul friend is someone who is very definitely an individual who is directly aware of the dynamic of the soul within their own life and realizes and invites that realization in others, because that realization is what will make you truly, truly happy and give you the opportunity to realize the purpose and meaning of life on this planet, meaning and purpose of your life on that planet, on this planet. So soul friendship is like, it's not a sort of a buddy kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The soul friend isn't out to save you from yourself, like a lot of, I mean, I find that there's a lot of focus on various religious invitations that are out there to save you because you're labeled this and that. From my point of view, a soul friend is a very quiet individual. They're content with their own self. They're content with their relationship with the divine. They're not out there to save you because they know at a deep level that you individually are never separate from the divine, but they are open to inviting you into that potential. So that's the kind of thing from the soul friend. Now, that's an overview, and I've taken it further, and I've said, well, actually, if you want to become a soul friend, then there's kind of a staged process in that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really... The invitation from the soul is always there. It tends to be resisted by the ego. It tends to be resisted by somebody who's very intensely involved in the development of their personality. And we talked about claiming personal power, and there's nothing wrong with claiming personal power, but ultimately, if that's where you stay, you're closing yourself off to the higher invitations from the soul. So that's one idea about soul friendship and how it extends. And it might lead me into a poem.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that all right?
A quick question. Is this gentleman still living in Ireland?
No, he died, unfortunately.
Ah.
He died on the 4th of January a couple of years ago.
Well,
he's only 51.
Wow. Well, share with us the story or the poem that you have for us.
This is about a soul, you know. I don't know, if you ever come to Ireland and you read her poetry, there are three poets that are really, will give you a taste of Ireland better than anyone else, and that's Seamus Heaney, William Yeats, and the one I'm going to read now is Patrick Kavanagh. Now, you might not be old enough for this, but there used to be a folk group called the Clancy Brothers. Did you ever hear them?
I can't say as I have.
Anyway, they're a famous Irish folk group, and they were around in the 60s. I discovered this poem from one of their one of them was a poet as well as a singer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I'm going to share this with you, I want to share this with you because I was reading an article in a UK paper, and it had to do with work. And I write, in the stages of personal development and beyond, one of the issues that I focus on is the individual's relationship to work. Right? And when I say work, I'm not talking about a 9-to-5 job. I'm talking about the work you are here as an individual to grace the world with. And that, when you were talking about flow and Tai Chi, it's the way in which your energy flows through your body, your mind, your soul, and creatively expresses in the world of form. And it's not necessarily about your job or the money you earn, but hopefully, if you were to follow this path, that you would attain find work that was meaningful, was purposeful, and paid the bills. Because I was reading the other day, there was a survey of people in all over the world, right? And the conclusion was that 10% of the people are actively engaged in their work and 60% are actively disengaged.
Mm.
So that was it. So this is a poem about a poet called Patrick Kavanagh. And his work in the world was to become a poet, but he resisted, you know. The title of the poem is called Pegasus, and the Pegasus is a winged horse, right? And it's an invitation to remember that actually the horse energy is a very rooted energy, and the divine is a very winged energy. So the combination of the two is a combination of the human and the divine.
Mm-hmm.
So let me read this poem to you. It's called Pegasus. My soul was an old horse, offered for sale in 20 fairs. I offered him to the church. The buyers were little men who feared his unusual airs. One said, let him remain unbid in the wind and rain and hunger of sin, and we will get him with the winkers thrown in for nothing. Then the men of state looked at what I had brought for sale. One minister wondering if another horse body would fit the tail that he'd kept for sentiment. The relic of his own soul said, I will graze him in lieu of his labor. I lent him for a week or more, and he came back a bundle of bones, starved, overworked, in despair. I nursed him on the roadside grass to shape him for another fare. I lowered my price. I stood him where the broken-winded spavins stand, and crooked shopkeepers said that he might do a season in the land, but not for high-paid work in towns. He'd do a tinker, possibly. I begged, oh, make some offer now. A soul is a poor man's tragedy. He'll draw your dungiest cart, I said, show you shortcuts to mass, teach weather lore at night, collect bad debts from poor men's grass. But I did not. Where the tinkers quarrel, I went down with my horse, my soul. I cried, who will bid me half a crown from their rowdying bargaining? Not one turned. Soul, I prayed, I have hawked you through the world of church and state and meanest trade. But this evening, halter off, never again will it go on the south side of ditches, there is grazing of the sun. No more haggling with the world. As I said these words, he grew wings upon his back. Now I may ride him every land my imagination knew. And as I said these words, he grew wings upon his back. And now I ride him every land my imagination knew.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Before we wrap up our program, Tony, I have two questions to ask you before we finish up here. One is, who is Tony Cookson?
Who is Tony Cookson? Well, he's kind of, at this stage of his life, he's a writer with a focus on inviting awareness of the stages of spiritual growth and development through various maps of consciousness, and with an emphasis on that invitation coming from the power of poetry, coming from the power of song, and coming from the power of story and storytelling. And if you were to be in Ireland, you might also be invited to come on the drumming weekend.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah,
that would be grand. And maybe we can even pack my wife's baron.
Has she got a baron?
She
right,
does.
Great.
She
yeah,
does.
Yeah.
We just now have to teach her how to play it. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring it and maybe we can teach her how to play. The other question I have for you is, what do you hope or want to achieve with the work that you're doing now?
Well, the one thing I really hope to do is simply be an expert SEO. I'll tell you what that means. I'm intent on learning skills, which are technological skills, allied with the skills I have with writing and poetry and song, and that I share that writing that really comes through me and the power of poetry to a much wider audience. It is my intention to become number one in Google for stages of personal development, and I have the intention by probably next year being number one in Google for my new website, which is called The Way of Chakra Healing. So there's a lot of people out there searching for understanding of what might be called energy healing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my intention long term. Once I've done that, I've also registered a website called Stages of Spiritual Growth. And I will take, because what I've found is to be able to share what I want to share, I have to be very focused on one particular idea. So I have several maps that I love in terms that you could follow in terms of spiritual growth. I will have a website for each of those, and it is my intention to be number one on Google for each of them.
Well, that's exciting to be a part of that process, and hopefully by the time we get to Ireland in December of this year, you will have achieved that.
We will. I will, I hope. Yeah, that's the intention.
Yeah. So yeah. We'll hold that intention for you as well. I want to thank you so much for taking time to share with us, especially at such a late hour. I suppose it would be considered a late hour to some, 10, 11 o'clock there in Ireland. And just out of curiosity, what's your weather like these days?
Oh, it's very mild.
Mild?
It's extraordinarily mild.
Hmm.
You know, it's very warm. We by our standards, it's very warm. By your standards, it's probably chilly.
we'll take it.
You're in California or somewhere.
Yes, in Santa Barbara, California.
It'll be very chilly for you.
Wrap
up warm when you come to here.
Oh, we
will.
Our first trip there, we were there in December, and we actually went out to one of the ancient stone circles, Drumbeg, out on the south coast, and the wind and the rain came in. And it was a baptism by ice, but it was wonderful. It was wonderful because of the fact that we were in Ireland. It was as if it didn't matter what happened because of where we were. It was wonderful being there. We're looking forward to being there again in the winter of this year as well. Again, I want to let people know that they can get a hold of you through your website. The present website is tonycookson.com. That's TonyCookson.com. We also have a link to your website at richarddugan.com, where they can also listen to this interview again. And again, and again, and again.
And again,
you can download it and share it with your friends and family and what have you, and we encourage you to do that as well. And once again, on this wonderful St. Patrick's Day, I actually made it a point to have you on the program today because of, and even when I scheduled you, we hadn't formalized our plans yet. But it's just kind of worked out to where it's going to be great. And I'm going to tell you right now, Tony, that you're actually going to be one of my guests in December while we are away. I'm going to be able to, as close as it's going to get to doing live radio from Ireland, we're going to do an interview with you and some of the other folks there. And have it ready to roll here so that people will be able to listen to it even while we're and that's because of the technology that we have available to us. So it's going to be very exciting. Again, I thank you, Tony, for sharing your time and St. Patrick's Day with us, and our best to you and everyone there. And until we do see you in December, I just want to say slán gafal.
Slán gafal. Yeah. Well, you have a wonderful evening or rest St. Patrick's Day, yeah?
Yes.
And I look forward to seeing you and your wife in December.
Yes.
And that the interview not take place out in the wind. we'll sit in front of the fire here, hopefully.
That would be wonderful. Right? That would absolutely be wonderful. We're looking forward to it. All right. Well, Tony, thank you again. And I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. This has been quite a wonderful, warm program today. And we hope that you enjoyed it. And I know that both Amrita and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And we look forward to coming to you next week at the same time and every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, archived at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page, and rebroadcast on a2zen.fm. I have a link to that website as well. Until next Saturday at this same time on Tell Me Your Story, love to Lal.